I'm speaking with Deborah Starr, Associate Professor of Near Eastern Studies. She, together with other faculty from her department, are planning a teach-in at Cornell to combat Islamophobia through education. The teach-in will take place this Friday, February 17th, on the Cornell campus. Deborah, thanks for speaking with me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Could you tell me why you and your fellow faculty members decided to organize the teach-in?
Certainly. After the executive order of January 27th that targeted seven predominantly Muslim nations citizens of seven predominantly Muslim nations and restricting their entry to the United States, my colleagues and I began discussing possible responses to this action. We're obviously quite opposed to the executive order, and we wanted to express our concerns about that for our peers, our colleagues, our students, our friends, our family members, concern for the future of our discipline specifically, but of the university all around and the future of this country.
What do you hope to communicate during the teach-in?
The idea is to share some of the repository of knowledge, some of the expertise of members of the Cornell community about Islam, and to try to dispel some of the misconceptions about immigration, about Islam, about the history of the Middle East, and how we've gotten to the point of these refugee crises, the large number of Syrian refugees from many other parts of the region. And so we're hoping to shed some light on some of that background and, in the hopes of combating Islamophobia with knowledge. So we have a number of different speakers who will be addressing different aspects of this based on their particular areas of expertise. So we'll be talking about the history of Muslim immigrants to the United States, talking about the current situation and Muslim identity within the national security state, talking about diversity in Islam, that it's not just Muslims from the Middle East, but that Islam is spread out over a large swath of the world, not just exclusively in the Middle East. I'm talking specifically about the refugee crisis in Syria, the Middle East in America's involvement in the Middle East, and the wars that America has conducted in the Middle East. And we're also going to be fleshing that out with an opportunity to hear some of the writing and the words of writers and poets from the region, to bring in a sense of some of the beauty of and the strength of the contributions that that writers from the Middle East have made. So we'll have a number of people reading selections from works of literature from writers representing some of the seven nations affected by the travel ban. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that many people in your department are opposed to the executive order. What are your concerns about the current travel ban and some of the messages coming out of the Trump administration?
You know, as in the course of my planning this and corresponding with colleagues, finding myself really, sort of passionately responding to the travel ban and the real imperative to take. To take a stand, I found myself articulating the ways that just within the small universe of Middle East studies, how the travel ban could have an impact on our small community within, the greater community that makes the university and the even greater community that makes our wonderful, diverse democracy. And so even within our little microcosm, thinking about our colleagues who teach language and the native speakers who help our students, who are so talented and help our students to learn Arabic, to learn Persian, to learn the languages of the region, and our students whose families, who themselves or their families have come from the region, who may have family over there, and as well as our colleagues, and just concern about what's going to happen, for example, to our professional associations that are international but have tended to hold their annual meetings in the United States because sometimes travel is restricted between Middle Eastern countries, and so this was a place that everybody could gather and meet despite border disputes and other conflicts in the region. And so now all of this is called into question just for our little corner of the world and our own little sort of corner of academia. And obviously we're very concerned about, the impact that this will have on the United States, on the openness of our society, and on the future of our democracy.
Could you talk about your field of study and how did you become interested in it?
So I study modern Arabic and Hebrew literature and modern Middle Eastern cinema. I've been particularly interested in cosmopolitanism and the relationship between minorities and majority cultures. I've written about particularly the minorities and their contributions to Egyptian culture in the early part of the 20th century. So I'm very interested in the ways that that cultures speak to one another, the ways that communities have worked together, both in contact and in richness, and over the period in which the communities were separating as some of the minorities, the Jews, the Greeks, the Italians, left Egypt in the middle of the 20th century and sort of the after effects and nostalgia for what went before. Mm-hmm.
So given what you study, what your field of study is in learning about minority communities that contributed to Egyptian culture, do you wonder or are you curious about American communities where the minorities from Muslim majority countries that have emigrated to the United States contribute to American culture?
Absolutely. I think the questions that that I ask both in my research and that we discuss in the courses that I offer, thinking about minority-majority relations, thinking about the ways that diversity has an impact on cultural production, on how people think, on how people relate to one another, is really essential. Even in these very different contexts. So I absolutely think that it's important to look at and question and interrogate the nature of these relations, recognizing power relations, recognizing the impact of, in the Egyptian context, the foreign influence. A lot of the cosmopolitanism was fostered when Egypt was under the British sphere of influence, and the impact that had on, the possibility of certain kinds of relationships, or that it also had an impact on the power relations between those communities. And I think those are important tools for understanding what's going on in the United States, in Europe, and all sorts of places around the world. These are really important and crucial questions that I think do inform one another.
And how do your students react to these topics? Do they talk about their own experiences?
It's some of the impetus for organizing this event came out of a class that I'm teaching right now, which is an introduction to modern Middle Eastern literature. And as I was, preparing this course, months ago, even before the executive order, thinking about the ways that we needed to look at certain sort of more political questions, the way that politics and literature interact, the way that writers see themselves and their roles in society. And these are questions that I've asked in lots of classes before. But I was scheduled on Friday to discuss work by writers, Middle Eastern writers in prison or who have recently been released from prison. And I thought this is something that really needs to be a public discussion, and not just privately held in this small small community, and some of the thinking about organizing this event, and particularly on the day of calls for a national strike, it felt like moving that discussion out of the classroom into the public about these, this relationship between politics and literature and the role of these writers and the treatment of authoritarian states of their intelligentsia seemed to be a really important thing to do in public rather than just in this sort of very private space. And interestingly, the writers that we were going to talk about in that class are all from countries or all imprisoned by countries that are not affected by the ban. They are the countries that are our friends in the region, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. And so there was this very interesting tension. In the end, we're not going to be talking about the imprisoned writers in this, but rather holding up some of the works by writers who are affected by the travel ban. Mm-hmm.
I noticed that some of the other faculty who are presenting during the teach-in are from different departments. Who are some of the faculty outside the Near Eastern Studies Department, and what are some of the other fields that will be presented?
Yes, so we're partnering with a number of different units on campus. The event is being hosted by the Department of Near Eastern Studies, but there is a sort of a group of other units on campus specifically devoted to connections to the Middle East. So the Clark Institute for Law and Development in the Middle East and North Africa, which is at the Cornell Law School, Comparative Muslim Societies, which is a group of colleagues from around the university who have interest in the study of Islam, not necessarily exclusively in the context of the Middle East, Jewish Studies, and the Ottoman and Turkish Studies Initiative. So those are all co-sponsoring this event with the Department of Near Eastern Studies. Among the participants are Salah Hassan, who is a professor of art history and Africana. He's also the director of the Institute for Comparative Modernities. We have a wonderful visiting scholar at the Society for the Humanities, Elise Simardian. Eric Tagliapozzo is a professor of history, and he directs the Comparative Muslim Societies group, and Aziz Rana, who is a professor in the law school. So these are some of our, and we also have Rebecca Magor, who is in performance and media arts, who will be talking about her work in translation and her of plays from Egypt from the revolution of 2011, and she'll be talking about some of the theater, the relationship between theater and revolution, and reading from some of the work that she's translated.
And who do you think should attend the teach-in? How can people find out where and when it is taking place?
So the teach-in is open to the public. We have been, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share this with the Ithaca community. The event takes place in the atrium of Kellarman Hall on Friday, February 17th, from 10 to 12. It is open to the public. And we are encouraging anyone interested to come. There's a student group that was recently formed called Cornell Welcomes Refugees. They've made a wonderful video, which will be introduced by one of the student organizers, and we'll be looking at the student efforts. And we also will have my colleague Ziad Fahmi, who's a professor of modern Middle East history, who will be doing an interactive feature called Ask a Middle East Specialist. So come and be prepared to ask any questions you had and didn't know who to ask.
Well, Deborah Starr, Associate Professor of Near Eastern Studies, thanks for speaking with me today.
Thank you very much for having me.